and welcome to On The Ledge Podcast, the prickly problem of saving cacti and succulents. That's what we're talking about in today's show, episode 291. I'm joined by Hayley Stevens of Mint Plants to talk all things cactus rescue. Plus, we get some On The Ledge sew-along updates. What happens to your plants when you get too old to look after them? This may not be something you've thought about if you are still a spring chicken, but it's something that's very much an issue in the cactus and succulent growing hobby, where loads of collectors are reaching that stage in life where they need to divest themselves of their collections for various reasons. And it's a problem. Not everyone's family loves cacti and succulents as much as they do. But that's where Hayley Stevens of Bristol plant firm Mint Plants comes in. I was lucky enough to visit Elm Tree Farm in Bristol, where Mint Plants is based, to chat to Hayley and her mum Tina about all of their planty exploits, why they are so passionate about saving venerable cacti and succulents, and how you transport a prickly cactus that's taller than you halfway across the country. As ever, do check out the show notes at janeperrone.com, where you'll find a transcript and some photographs to peruse as you listen. Oh, and just a heads up, if you've never heard of the BCSS, that's the initials of the British Cactus and Succulent Society. Well worth joining if you're interested in these plants. And we also mention a chap called Tony. This is Tony of Tony Irons Cacti, also based not far from Mint Plants in the Bristol area. Tony and Hayley work together on some projects for rescuing plants. And I also visited Tony for the podcast. So you'll be able to hear from Tony in an upcoming episode. So Mint is a houseplant slash cactus slash succulent business, but with a bit of a twist, really, I think, because you're not just kind of bulk buying from Dutch nurseries, bog standard cacti and selling them. You've got a slightly different mission, Hayley. Can you just tell me about what you're trying to do here that maybe sets you apart?
Yeah, so we do a lot of rescue jobs, and I use the term rescue because it's the simplest thing to explain the fact that they're not wholesale plants grown in a nursery somewhere. I'm still trying to figure out the right description for it, but it's, yeah, we get a lot of our plants from private UK growers, and a lot of them, most of them are cacti and succulents, because there's a lot of people out there with a greenhouse with a big collection of cacti and succulents. We do houseplant collections as well, but we've only really done one major rescue job on the houseplant side, but we are open to all, because the mission is basically to save plants that have been grown and loved privately for many years, in most cases, to save them from the skip when someone can't look after them anymore or gets to the end of their life and the family don't know what to do with them. We swoop in, basically.
And what a brilliant mission that is. This takes you all over the country doing this, and you're bringing those plants back here to your greenhouse. Maybe somebody listening's been through this, rescuing a cactus. Talk us through, what's your process when you get a cactus back here and maybe it's not looking its best? It's had a bit of time where it hasn't been able to be cared for that well. Where do you start and what do you do to make sure it's going to last a few more years?
Yeah, well, it's tough in that every single plant that we bring back will need individual attention. So it's a lot harder than buying a tray of 10 plants from Holland and sticking a label on them and putting them out for sale. But it's necessary as well. So we are unbelievably lucky that we've got this greenhouse and we've got space here at Elm Tree where no matter what condition plants are in, we can put them in here and we know that they're at least getting the light that they need. A lot of times in greenhouses where the owners haven't been down for a while, there might be weeds, there might be things strangling. We've got a big clump of tillandsia over there that is that was around a cactus in the greenhouse. So yeah, get it back here, and it comes in here and it goes in the queue basically to be sorted out. If there's anything that's really struggling, we will have a look at it straight away. We take the pot off basically, or get it out of whatever it's in. A lot of the collections we've done have been in stuff planted in beds inside greenhouses as well, that we've had to pull out and just put into trays. So that kind of stuff will get repotted. Chop things back if we need to, do full bug checks, make sure there's no critters running around. Quite often the soil is years and years and years old, so we'll have to do a full soil change where we can. And yeah, just give things a general once over, repot it, top dress it, as long as it's got roots. A lot of the plants, the bigger plants, might break in transit, or we get a lot of bits that come off, as you know, with cacti and succulents, they just drop. So we we put things into seed trays, we repot bits and pads, so we've got trays of unrooted stuff. We try and label up anything that's not got roots. We don't top dress the non-rooted stuff yet, because we want to lift it occasionally to see if it's rooted yet. And just tidy them up basically.
Do you ever find anything, any horrible surprises? I remember getting an Easter Christmas cactus that I rescued and took it out of the pot, and it was in this kind of horrendous garden soil mixed with like weird stones. I mean, sometimes people aren't using the conventional things. Have you had any experience of that kind of thing?
Yeah, quite a lot of people. We get quite a lot of local people that contact us with one or two plants, or a big plant or something that has been passed between people. We've had quite a lot of cacti in the wrong soil completely. There's a Clysto cactus over there, which is just behind Mum there, and it was just in 100% compost, and it was wobbly and it was just about to keel over, so we had to get that out immediately. We get lots of trinkets, so lots of little plastic lizards and things on the top of pots where people decorate them. Quite a few critters. We had a collection in Reading, and there was a staghorn fern in a huge wire basket that had then grown outside the wire basket, and it was about a meter wide. It was absolutely huge, and we got it back to the container, and we went in the next day and we saw some mouse droppings on the side, and we were like, what is that? And then a couple of days later we were sorting out this staghorn fern, and there was a mouse in it, living in it.
Oh my word. Wow.
Unfortunately, the poor thing had died, but we brought it back from Reading, and it obviously been running around the container.
Well, I guess that just shows the way that a staghorn fern is, part of the ecosystem. I'm sure in the wild things are living in it as well, right, but yeah, not necessarily what you want if you're bringing that into your house.
No, it wasn't fun.
And do you find that people, obviously you've established yourself as a business and on social media, presumably people really like buying from you because of your mission, and that they're not just buying kind of a cookie cutter plant that's been produced, they're buying something with a bit of history.
Yeah, we have found that the plants that are the rescue plants seem to go really, really well, and we try and get the story of them up. It's not always easy to get that much information out for each plant, because we're constantly putting things on the website, but we try and at least put where it's come from and who the previous owner was. The bigger plants get a plaque with where it was rescued from, when, and that kind of thing. The rescue plants have got a lot of history, and often they are all completely different to each other as well. Even if we get a lot of one type, they all look completely different. So I think people like having something that they know is completely unique. And often they're plants that you just don't see in garden centres or other plant shops either, because they're just, some of them are super wacky.
Tell me about some of the super wacky plants in here. I mean, you've got obviously you've got plants moving through all the time, but are there any real favourites that you maybe haven't been able to let go, or anything that's particularly particularly fond of?
Yes, I like the ones that just look like sticks. So I've got a real obsession with cordex plants specifically, and anything that's sort of like bonsai, like anything with a woody trunk, and then the ones that the leaves come out of that are I just obsessed with. So we've got some crassulas here and aeoniums that have been kept small, basically, so they've been allowed to mature in that small pot, which has created like a real woody stem, and then you get the foliage coming out the top, and I just love it. And then we've got this Euphorbia tiricale, this big tree here. The plaque on it says not for sale, but the only reason that is because I love it.
I've never seen one of these in the flesh. I've only ever seen this in photographs of like San Francisco, where it grows outside as a landscaping plant. But it is an amazing looking succulent. I mean, a little bit deadly. You've got to be careful of that white sap. I'm sure you've had encounters with the white sap. But it's an amazing plant. And presumably does that go nice and red in sunlight?
Yeah, it's gone. If you see the front, it's really red or pinky red, and the back is quite yellow. When we first got it was from Harry's greenhouse up in Preston, and it was right up against the south facing wall of the greenhouse, so it was completely battered by the sun, and it was all really pale yellow. So it's starting to turn now back to its sort of like reddy, darker color, it's just beautiful. Fire sticks, it is the common name because of the color of it, but it's too beautiful to let go.
Is that what you love about cacti succulents, that they are so kind of quirky and
I think so, yeah.
Weird.
When I first opened the shop, first met Tony, he was the first sort of local supplier I went to, and I was just hooked from the first meeting with him, just because of the pure variety and the fact that, like Euphorbia, for example, you can have a poinsettia, and then that thing just looks like sticks. It just blows me away still to this day, the amount of variety, and then you know all the colors, the sedums, the echevarias, all sorts. I still to this day see things. I just found one a minute ago. It's I can't remember what it's called, but it's over there. The name has left me, but
don't worry,
I just found it in the on the bench, and I've put a little note over there like, "HS, I need this," because I still to this day I'm like, oh my god, one of these. I'm just obsessed.
Well, I guess that's a lovely thing to be able to combine your obsession with your business. But I imagine the trouble with that is that you can't say no to anything. And obviously you've gone all around the country rescuing collections, which I imagine it's looking at some of these plants, I'm thinking, my gosh, it's taller than me, it's spiky, this is a logistical nightmare. Any tips for transporting cacti if anyone's moving across the country? I mean, this one here, this Echinocereus, I'm looking at that and just going, that's just an A&E trip in a cactus form.
Yeah.
Any tips for people moving cacti?
You've got to not be too scared. You've got to sort of get involved, basically. But we were talking earlier about injuries. And but the best thing that we've found is to, instead of trying to wrap the whole thing, you need to lie them down, basically. The safest thing is for them to lie down. Even the big round bulbous ones, that in a car is going to just wobble about. So what we do is we wrap the pot up with a bin bag and just tape it like crazy around the top. And then we get a blanket or a towel and roll it into a thin sausage, and then wrap that around the top end of the cactus and cross the ends over. So it's like a strap, rather than trying to wrap it and trying to pad it so that you can hold it. Just stay away from the spines as much as you can. And then that way you can sort of hold it long ways and lie it down somewhere. But yeah, it's a nightmare.
Yeah, it's not. I can imagine that is all kinds of fun. Mm-hmm. And you appeared on Gardener's World, the BBC TV programme here in the UK, and that obviously brought in a whole new flush of people wanting to give you cacti. What are your plans for 2024?
Well, we've had to start being a bit selective about which collections we take on, because we haven't got the space all the time, and it was starting to overwhelm us at the end of last year. But we do have a very special collection booked for in Glasgow, which my amazing mum and dad are going to help me out.
Shout out to the parents here. Yeah. I mean, that's a wonderful thing. Yeah. I mean, it's a road trip. It's got cactus involved. It sounds great. What are you going to find in this collection? Is it going to be lots of choice specimens, hopefully?
Yes. So originally, we were contacted last year, before the winter, and it took me a long time to figure out whether to do it or not, because it's Glasgow. It's not easy to get to, and it's costly as well. We buy the collections from people, so we don't get them for free, and we then also have to pay for the collection of them. And I have previously been notoriously bad at actually factoring in all the costs in terms of time and everything. So but this one is an incredible collection of cordex plants and some quite old, mature, rare succulents, and quite a few cacti in there as well. And we originally said no, and then the owner said, well, how about we chat again in the spring? Because we didn't, you know, you can't do anything over the winter anyway, you don't want to be moving plants. And then I haven't been able to stop thinking about it, so we said, and mum and dad have got a camper van, so they've said that, and we've got family up in Edinburgh, so they've said, right, why don't we just make a trip?
Road trip!
Yeah. And I'm still trying to figure out how I can come with them.
It sounds like a movie. I mean, this is a movie script right here. Like, you're going across the country to collect cacti in a camper van. There's going to be thrills and spills along the way. Something's bound to go wrong. There's going to be a roller coaster of events. Yeah. It sounds great. I want to see the movie. But I think it's a wonderful thing to do. But I imagine at the same time, you know, like, your life could be so much easier if you were just ordering those pallets of cacti from the Dutch nurseries. Mm. What's the one thing that makes you keep going and persist with this very, very honourable profession?
I think one of the main things is that there's so much going on behind closed doors in the UK that nobody knows about. And this is just the tip of the iceberg in terms of private collectors. I'm part of the BCSS, and, you know, go to the meetings in Bristol, and just the Bristol branch alone, there is so many collectors with a large greenhouse in their back garden, and not just enthusiasts, like, they really know their stuff and they've been doing this for a long time, and it's almost starting to die out a little bit. There's this huge gap between the older generation and then people my age and younger, where houseplants and cacti and succulents have kind of been forgotten about a little bit, and they, you know, they've only just come back into fashion in the last few years, really. But there's all this going on that a lot of people just don't know about, and the amount of conversations I have with people that cannot believe that these plants have been grown in the UK in someone's back garden, and then they're now here for sale, and it just seems to be such a huge thing. And yeah, there's so many reasons, but I just love it. And I feel so privileged to be able to get the opportunity to have these plants in my possession to begin with, and then to be able to pass them on to people who love them and know them. You know, we ship these things across the whole country, and we're constantly getting asked for shipping to America and Europe, which I can't even cope with the thought of that, but it's such an amazing story that I just can't stop.
How do we reconnect those two generations of growers back together? I mean, I guess the simple answer is go to branch meetings. That said, I'm a BCSS member, and I'm openly admit I've never been to a branch meeting. It's on a Friday night. It's just not possible for me to get there. How do we reconnect these two groups and get all of that knowledge kind of passing between the two? I don't know. It's not an easy question to answer. I don't know what the answer is, really.
Yeah, in my opinion and from my experience, there's a massive culture and technological gap. So a meeting on a Friday night for a group of cacti enthusiasts in their 70s and 80s is doable. That's fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, a Tuesday night, 7:30 p.m., that's fine. But then there's this huge gap with people's lives, and younger people don't have the time. And also the technological side of it, the older generation don't put things on Zoom or want to publicise. They don't feel the need to do that because they just haven't ever done it and they're not used to that. And I'm working with the BCSS and doing a lot of their Facebook and stuff for them, and there just seems to be a massive gap on multiple levels. And what I worry about is the knowledge, because the knowledge that these people have is incredible, and they are so incredible, that the things that they've learned, the things they know from just growing these plants themselves. And a lot of us nowadays don't have a big house, don't have the ability to grow cacti and succulents ourselves in our back gardens like the older generation do and have done for years. And that knowledge is potentially going to get lost. So it's a bit of a worry, and it's a big problem.
The amazing thing is, once you do connect with that generation, they're incredibly generous and incredibly willing to share. It's not like they're not gatekeeping this information. Mm-hmm. If you actually meet these people, they're incredibly generous. I mean, I never forget when I interviewed Colin Walker, the ex-president of the BCSS, about Sansevierias. And he said, well, I'll just send you a few. And this massive box turned up at my house. And I was like, oh, I wasn't. He's like, okay, I've just, I've suddenly got 20 different Sansevierias species. So it's, you know, it's a wonderful thing. And I guess it's just kind of trying to find a way of meeting in the middle. But the BCSS is doing great work in that regard. So hopefully, you know, and obviously as are you. And I guess that's the message for people who are, maybe somebody listening is in that situation of a relative who needs to divest of their collection. There are ways of, I know the BCSS sometimes helps with finding homes for these plants. I've seen stuff on the Facebook group. There's not always one simple way of doing it, but that's the main thing. We just don't want these plants to end up in the skip.
Because some of them, you might have a collection of 100 plants and one or two of them might be something so rare that came over 20 or 30 years ago from back when people just used to send these cuttings and seedlings and stuff all across the place, or they would go to Kenya and bring a load back in the suitcase, you know, and we just can't do that anymore. And it's the amount of gems that are potentially hidden and in the UK is insane.
More cactus chat with Hayley shortly, but now time for a little bit of housekeeping. I've had some lovely messages off you folks recently. Marianne has been in touch from NYC, I guess that means New York City, and has been inspired by the last episode to give the sew along a go. Is growing polka dot plant, begonia, passiflora, lace fern and eucalyptus. Interesting that passiflora is mentioned there. That reminds me that I have recorded an excellent interview about growing passion flowers as houseplants. That'll be coming up in the next few weeks. So do have a listen to that, Marianne, and anyone else interested in this fascinating genus of the passion plants. Marianne wanted to know whether a heat source is necessary for these seeds. I would say wherever you can, yes. A heat source will help. It's not essential if you've got a really warm house, but if your seed sowing spots are a little bit on the chilly side, particularly at night, you will benefit from a heat mat with thermostat, as I always say. Be safe. Don't start a fire in your house, or a propagator. Definitely worth the investment. I also had a message from Sharon, who's saying that the sew-along will have to wait until June because the south-facing windowsills in Sharon's house are packed with garden plants right now. I appreciate what you're saying, Sharon. I've got a lot of tomato plants which have been stuck inside because it's been so cold here in the UK. Come June, you will have space and so will I. And there's plenty of things you can still sow there, particularly things like cacti and succulents will still be fine in June. So don't despair if you haven't started and you're listening in June, you can still go ahead. Also, a heads up about a coming episode where you can get involved. Have you come across Derek Haynes, aka the Chocolate Botanist, on Instagram? Derek will be joining me on The Legend in an upcoming episode, and we need your questions to answer. So if you've got a burning question about botany, anything to do with the world of plants, drop me a line to On The Ledge Podcast and I will pose your question to Derek, who really is an absolute fount of information. So that will be a really fun episode. He's a great guy. So do get your questions in ontheledgepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you to Kimberly, Claire, Melissa and Rebecca, who've all become legends, and Lucio, who started off on a free trial and then converted to being a legend. Thank you, all of you, for joining my Patreon clan. And there will be an episode of An Extra Leaf going out simultaneously with this episode, with extra chat with Hayley. So if you are a Patreon subscriber at the legend or superfan level, you can go and have a listen to that. It'll be popping up in your RSS feeds and notifications shortly. Patrons also get ad-free versions of the main show and the all-important December mail-out, where I send you a handwritten note. It's keeping my handwriting going after many years of not writing very much. It's great fun. So please do think about joining Patreon if you can. It's a great community to be a part of and a way of getting a hotline to me. And who wouldn't want that? And thanks to those of you who've been sharing your progress on the Facebook group and on Instagram. Over on Facebook, we're at Houseplant Fans of On The Ledge. Do join if you can. Make sure you answer all three questions, because we're quite strict about that round here. And then you can get in and become part of our Facebook community. Jade has been sprouting oxalis. Jade, they are looking amazing. Really great progress. And Greg is growing Hawaiian plants from seed. Very nice, including Vaccinium reticulatum, a super spiky Hawaiian form of the species Hibiscus fursilatus. Love the sound of that. And some other things by the look of it. So thank you, Greg, for sharing that. And I note that Jeanette's Euphorbia abisa is flowering. Now I know that these plants, the tartan tennis ball, as I think one of their common names is, are either male or female. I'm not sure, looking at your plant, whether you've got a male or female, but maybe if you've got a male and a female, you can try some pollination. See if you can get any seeds, Jeanette. So please do keep on sharing your progress. I love to see it. And there will be more sew along episodes coming up. I have spoken to the wonderful Jennifer Jewell, host of the podcast Cultivating Place, about her new book about seeds. That will be one of the sew along episodes that's in the pipeline, and it's a really fascinating one. So all things sew along continue. Oh, on a personal note, I've got some foxtail asparagus seeds that are soaking. I probably really need to get them out and start sowing them now, actually, but hopefully they will grow well, because that was one of the ones recommended by Alina from Plant Flicks in the last episode, episode 290. And do go to the show notes for a link to all the sew along episodes if you want to catch up. And don't forget about the Morven show. It's on the 9th, 10th, 11th and 12th of May. I will be there on the 11th and the 12th, hosting the houseplant stage and doing a live podcast recording and also a talk. So it's going to be very exciting. I will put a link in the show notes to more info on that. Love to see you there. Right, back to my chat with Hayley Stevens.
Well, I love seeing all these gems come to light. Is there anything else in here that you particularly want to point out to me or tell me about? I mean, there's just so many cool. I'm loving those. Is that golden barrel cactus there or something?
That's
or
a ferrocactus.
Oh, ferrocactus. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, so they came from Renee in Bath as well. So this Clydesdale here that was strapped to the outside of his house, he had those in his...
strapped to the outside of his house. So this is a tall columnar cactus, very columnar cactus, Clydesdale cactus. I mean, it must be, I'm not very tall, it must be 6 foot tall. Wow.
Yes, I think I would say like seven, eight foot at least. And yeah, he contacted, 94 he was, and he is, and he said, I just don't think I'm going to be able to wrap it up this year in bubble wrap. And he said, I think it's about 40 years old. And I was like, yep, we'll take it. It came right out of the pot, getting into the van. It just flipped out. There was no roots on it. It was sopping wet. It was in a sorry state, the poor thing. But we've brought it back, and it's flowering away. So I'm not sure if that's a good thing or not. But it's doing things. And they were from his conservatory as well.
Oh, it's
but he still kept a few. He still couldn't part with a few of them because it's just there's so much love that goes into these things.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then probably the only other one that I want to show you is that Tylocodon, that big chunky thing. It looks a bit battered, so we have to chop it right back. But it's just insane. They're winter growers, those, and they're in their own species. So this came from a collection that Tony actually got hold of, and we've bought it from Tony because Tony sells a lot of small plants, but we shift a lot of big ones. And a lot of it's these, we had to chop it because a lot of the branches were just falling about, and obviously the journey here didn't help, but we've chopped it and given it a water because they're winter growers, so they need to be watered throughout the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sprouting from all these cut bits.
Oh, yes, look at that. It's gnarly. Look up gnarly, and that's what's pictured in the dictionary. It is gnarly, but it's got a beautiful bark on it, and it's got a lot of character. That's the thing. All these plants are very characterful. When you could buy a cactus that's kind of, as you say, come straight off the tray from the Dutch nursery, they're usually quite standard, whereas all of these have so much personality. I think that's part of the joy. And that one is very cool. Yeah. And I'm also liking the one next to it as well, which like it looks like it's had an interesting life. Is that a ferrocactus as well?
Yeah. He was a ferrocactus enthusiast.
Oh, it's epic. I mean, like the corking on that is just so characterful. The corking being the hard corky bits at the base, where it's just a sign of the cactus having a bit of age. But it's looks so good.
It's gone out and then it's got back in at one point, which is erratic watering.
Yeah.
I like to say. Yeah. And then it's sort of sorted itself out. But they've been in the same pots for the last 30 years as well. So that's probably not helping its growth. It probably should be a lot bigger. But it's doing all right. It's looking glorious from this point on.
Presumably sometimes you do lose stuff where it's just rotted or it's just not going to make it.
Or
I imagine really badly infested. I mean, as the queen of the root mealybug, I can imagine there's sometimes you just look at that and think, this is not worth saving.
Yeah.
Tragically.
Yeah, we get a lot of mealies. We haven't had many problems with other pests, to be fair. It's mainly mealybugs. And some things are just, you will get them and they'll just be rotten. We had an incredible Senecio. I don't know if we've got the bits of it. Have we got any more of that Senecio, Mum? The little bits that came off. It was a columnar Senecio, really rare. Mm. I can't remember the name of it, but it was incredible. Big chunky thing. And we got it back and it started shooting all little pups off the stem. And then I don't know what happened, but suddenly the whole thing just rotted and it was like,
heartbreaking.
But you can't do anything about it. You've got to let them go, the poor things. We try and chop and prop a lot of things and dry them out, but you end up with this poor guy. He was up against the window and didn't like the cold, but we've cut him back and we're hoping.
They're pretty tough. Solid. I mean, yeah, somebody I was reading recently they can get down to -5 or something.
Really?
quite cold, which is comforting to me as somebody who has one that's kind of now up here, and I'm thinking, how many more years am I going to be carrying this in and out of the house, because I don't have a heated greenhouse. I was thinking this might just have to stay outside.
Yeah,
but
if you wrap it should be all right. It doesn't frost. I just keep going. There's so many.
I'm also loving that beautiful pot that the crassula there is in. That's a really
It's mad, isn't it?
Lovely container.
Yeah, it's very, very heavy. Proper stone pot.
Do you like to, like me, to go into the charity shops and the junk shops and look for cool containers?
Yes.
Although I sometimes think, you know, I should be running a plant business. I've got so many pots.
Have you?
I'm like, oh, I'm not going to get rid of that one because there's going to be a plant one day that's going to need that specific pot.
I'm the same. And
I'm going to, yeah, then I'm going to need this.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, we do. We used to do a lot of vintage pots in the shop and sort of resell them on, because some of them, if we plant them up, we've got a whole stack of old terracotta over there. But yeah, if you get the right plant with the right pot, then it really sets it off.
It's
quite
thing.
A rare yucca that we got from Preston, I think, and it's Yucca end Lichiana. And this has got the original label, which we're trying to hold on to in three pieces.
That's the trouble with plastic labels. They do degrade, don't they?
Yeah.
You think they're all nicely written and then you realise, we can't actually read that anymore.
Yeah, but it says it's got the ISI number on it. And then it's got collected 604 Mexico Coa Huila. And we had a guy from France who was desperate for this plant when we put it online, and I said to him, look, I just can't risk sending it because it will get stopped at the border. We are not set up to do phytosanitary certificates yet. And I said, he was like, I'll wait, I'm desperate for this specific plant. He was a yucca enthusiast, sending me all his pictures from his house. He had loads of them, but in the end he had to let it go because I just didn't want to risk it, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, it's lovely to see all these plants getting a new lease of life. Very exciting. And I mean, I guess you probably don't have a typical customer. I imagine it's just a real mixed bag of people who love cacti and succulents.
We quite often, new people discover us who are real enthusiasts, and then they come to the greenhouse and they just are amazed, and then they're customers for life. Then we get quite a lot of people that once they find us, they realize what we've got here, and then they just, it's like a sweet shop, you know. But again, even people that have never owned any plants before, they'll take something and absolutely love it because they're so special.
And do you have, if you've got somebody who's coming new to this particular hobby, anything you think is a great starting point, any particular species or genus that you sort of say, well, look, if you're starting out, start here, because this will keep you going?
I would definitely say Crassula.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Crassula, they're so beautiful, there's so many options, and they are one of the easiest succulents, I would say. They don't need full blaring sun. You don't have to have them on a windowsill, as long as there's plenty of light in and around them. And again, you can keep them in the same pot for years. They don't really care too much about the soil mix. As long as you've just got something in there to loosen it up, they tend to be really easygoing and stunning, like so many different varieties. So yeah, that's what I normally say to people if someone asks for an easy starting point.
I agree. I think that's a great suggestion. Well, Hayley, it's fantastic to meet you and see some of your lovely collection of plants. And just tell us where we can find you online for anyone who's new to what you do.
Yeah, so the website is probably the best place to go, mintplants.co.uk. Instagram is where we're most active in terms of social media, mint.plants. And it's a small team here, so we're right behind all of that. If you have any questions or anything, I'm constantly messaging, WhatsApping, calling customers about care advice, whether it's going to arrive safe, that kind of stuff. So the website or our Instagram probably, or Facebook.
Yeah, and I'll also stick all that information into the show notes as well, so people can find you easily. But thank you so much for joining us. And I'm just, as ever, just in awe of the incredible world of cacti and succulents. You're right, they are amazing. So thank you very much
for
joining
me
today.
Thanks so much to Hayley, and do check out Mint Plants. Their Instagram is very fun. And if you want to experience Mint Plants in person, do check out the list of events they're attending this year, which you'll find in the show notes. It includes the Malvern Festival, which I'll also be at, and in fact I'll be talking about rescuing cacti on the stage with Hayley that weekend. So do check out the show notes for details about all of that. Have a great week. Keep sewing, keep growing, and I'll speak to you soon. Bye. The music you heard in this podcast was Roll Jordan Roll by The Joy Drops, The Road We Used to Travel When We Were Kids by Komiku, and Overthrown by Josh Woodward. All tracks are licensed under Creative Commons. Visit the show notes for details.